Thank you very much, Fred, for very kind words. It is always so nice to be back to Washington, particularly in this season with good weather. Fred said it's Gordon Brown weather, Gordon Brown brought new weather, nice weather, or our president, I might have said together, but as a Pope, I thought of it again, maybe said we just piggybacked. Well, with Pope, I don't think we can say we brought it together. But in any way, it is really my great privilege to be here at Peterson Institute, which is a very, very special place to me. I wrote a book here while I was sitting here, and I made so many good friends here. So it's so nice to be back at this institute. As Fred just said, I accompanied our newly elected president to Washington. I will accompany him to Tokyo for another summit. Since I am here in Washington, I thought it's a good idea to meet all of you as old friends and talk a little bit about our new government and what is going to do by this government and the what would be the national agenda, economic agenda. So what I would like to do today is I'll try to provide you a very general perspective through which you can see what kind of new policy priorities this new government will have and which areas this new government will put priorities. as you know, Korea just had a per capita income of about $20,000 last year, which is really a miracle considering where it started from in less than a century, a half century ago, when we had a per capita income of less than $100, which was less than half of per capita income of Philippines and Thailand and Zimbabwe. And at the time, one of our major export items was squid. And we had really miraculous achievement. However, we Koreans know that there are nearly 40 countries ahead of us which are enjoying high living standard, particularly there are many countries which are already enjoying per capita income level of 40,000 or 50,000. So Koreans know that they have a long way to go before join those today's most advanced nations. So what they feel now is that they have to move fast, and so they have to grow fast. To grow fast, of course, you have to enhance nation's economic growth potential to the maximum. Unfortunately, however, our growth potential has been deteriorating rather rapidly during the last 10 years or so. I don't want to get in why that happened, but I will show you some of the figures later. So this is one of the major reasons why Koreans chose President Lee Myung-bak, who pledged to be economic president during the campaign. And Koreans chose Lee Myung-bak, and then only a week ago, Koreans gave him a renewed mandate of reviving Korean economy by giving his party the majority seats. And therefore, you can see very easily that where the national priority will be put on by this government, economics. and more specifically speaking, the economics, to enhance the economic growth potential, which has been deteriorating rather fast. I'll show you the economic growth data so you can see what's happening in Korea. This this diagram actually shows you that from 1991 to 95, our average growth rate per annum was 7.5%, as compared to 2001 to 2007, only 4.6%. I'm not mentioning 4.1% for 96 to 2000 because that is aberration because of our currency crisis. So you see 7.5 to 4.6%, this is actual growth. And you look at the factor contribution, actually the blue color is the what you call, economists call total factor productivity growth contribution. And the red is capital, and the yellow and green together is actually labor input, you can see that way. So if you compare the 1991 to 95 and 2001 to 2007, the growth rate was down. And all the reason you can see is the contributions made by capital and total factor productivity and labor are both reduced. But one noticeable fact there is that the reduction, the rate of reduction by the contribution made by capital is more, drastic there. So in enhancing economic growth potential, you either increase nationwide economic efficiency by improving total factor productivity, or augment investment, or augment the labor input. But considering Korea's fast aging population and the shortening working hours, I don't think you're surprised to see that rather reduced the labor contribution to the growth. But the rapid reduction, the contribution made by reduction the contribution made by the capital needs some further elaboration. From the gross accounting, the reduced contribution by capital is primarily due to sluggish plant and equipment investment. Turn to next. As you can see from the slide, look at this. The plant and equipment investment is the rate of increase. You see from 2000 to 2006, the rate of increase in the plant and equipment has been from two digit to the well below one digit level, which is about 4.1% and around 4% level. And as a consequence, the plant and equipment investment in the GDP, composition, it used to be well over 10%, but now is down below 10%. So we feel that we can do something about this, augmenting investment by doing reforms and deregulations. So anyway, so this is the plant and equipment investment, which is reduced quite substantially. To say the least, in this age of globalization, the creation of a business-friendly environment is a necessity to have a robust investment. Unfortunately, it was not put on the top of the national agenda by previous government during the last 10 years or so. It is no accident that both domestic and foreign business community see Korea's business environment unfavorably. For example, the World Bank's Doing Business 2008 has ranked Korea 30th with 110th in what they define as starting a business, which is very difficult, you know, to establish new business in Korea, and 106 in what they defined as paying taxes, and 131st in employing workers, and out of 178 countries they surveyed. And so the new government is going to put deregulation and regulatory reforms on the top of the policy agenda. In fact, as Fred mentioned, one of the major tasks of the newly established National Competitiveness Council in the President's office is regulatory reforms. I have the privilege of chairing this council, which is a permanent entity in the President's office. We have cabinet members as members participating in it, and then we have the representatives of major business associations and the consumer representatives and the labor union representatives and experts from various fields. The important thing is that we hold regular monthly publicly open meeting with the President where all these regulatory reform agendas are brought up, and we'll discuss it, and then if there are some administrative actions can be taken, will be taken. If it requires new legislations, of course, will the concerned ministries will act on it. The important thing is in the next meeting, the government officials have to tell the committee that what are the follow-ups, what have been done by the decisions made in the past meeting, and if they didn't take some action and they didn't do what is supposed to be done, they have to explain why. So I think this is one way to make sure that things can be done and expedited. So it shows Korean new government's determination, President's commitment to the the national agenda of the enhancing our economic growth potential. According to a recent research report on deregulation by the Federation of Korean Industries, if about 1,600 regulations, we have some 5,000 identified regulations. We know there are some more in hidden form, but out of 5,000, the FKI had the calculation that only about 1,600 regulations are either scrapped or eased. Korea's ranking in the World Bank's doing business can be elevated up to 15th from the current 30th. So we're, this is one of the benchmark we have to work in a short-term perspective. Government regulation exists, as you can imagine, across industries from manufacturing to services, including, of course, the financial sector. In deregulating them, global best practices and the global standards will be our guiding principles. And our goal is to ensure a level playing field for firms of all sizes, both domestic and foreign. I always tell my staff that when they report to me and, well, you know, we're going to deregulate this and that, I always ask them, do you check the best practices in the world? And if you improve on some regulations which do not exist in the countries where we consider best practices have global standards. I say it's meaningless. So you have to abolish them. If they don't have, then we have no reason why we should have it. If you think we have to have it, then you should convince me why we have it. But in any case, so our standard is global best practice, at least that's our the goal. In the area of taxes, in addition to the adjustment of Korea's tax regime and the rates, the nation's tax administration will be made more transparent. I know many foreign investors would like to hear this. Korean corporate taxpayers, let alone foreign firms, have been complaining about not only the high tax burden, but also the complicated tax laws, which are written not in a taxpayer-friendly manner. So we are set to simplify major tax laws. At the same time, for foreign investors in particular, all new and relevant existing tax laws will be made available in English. We didn't have that before. The Korean government is well aware that countries around the world are competitively cutting or plan to cut their corporate tax rate. We also plan to reduce the corporate tax rate from current 25% to 20% in the next 5 years. For small and medium companies, the corporation tax rate will be reduced from the current 13% to 10% during the same period. Another area of reform needs is to establish a business-friendly, environment is labor relations. Korean labor relations are frequently perceived as confrontational and uncompromising. The World Bank's Again Doing Business 2008 survey ranks Korea 131st out of 178 countries in what they define as again employing workers, indicating difficult labor relations. In this regard, would like to remind you of the fact that Korean history of collective bargaining is very short and began abruptly without much preparation in the late 1980s. Therefore, one may say that Korea is still going through a trial and error process. The problem, however, has been the unreasonably high level of tolerance to illegal activities and disputes on the part of the unions. Now the new government is determined to strictly apply the rule of law. I think that is the good beginning, and this important beginning. I think this we should work very hard on this. I am pleased to report that the situation has begun, though, to turn around. The number of illegal disputes has been on a steady decrease since the peak in 2004. To make the lost work days, falling from 1.2 million days in 2006 to about 500,000 days in 2007. Furthermore, Korea's largest labor federation, which is called the Federation of Korean Trade Unions, has recently declared no illegal disputes and full participation in the nationwide efforts in reviving the economy. To show the Federation's support for President's endeavor to revive the economy, the president of that FKTU has joined the Korean delegation to the US this time, together with Korean business leaders. Actually, he is in town now. And he was in the IL in Wall Street in New York. And this is really good sign, and it's the first time in our history to have this. In response to cooperative initiatives on the part of labor unions, Korean business associations too publicly declared to do their parts to enhance corporate social responsibility and improve corporate governance and ethical standards. Also, the Korean government will make every effort to make the labor market more flexible. If it takes the tax revision, we'll do so. And encourage business firms to expand the performance-based wage system, which is not widely practiced nowadays. In the face of fast population aging, the shortened working hours, the Korea needs to increase labor market participation, particularly by facilitating that of female workers. The latest government report points to a relatively low rate of labor market participation of Korean female workers. Their labor market participation stood at 54.7%, lower than the OECD average of 60.8% and the US rate of 69.3%, despite high female enrollment in tertiary education of 81.1%, which is highest in the world. Clearly, Korean female workers are underutilized resources, to say the least, which can greatly contribute to raising Korea's economic growth potential. To encourage female workers' participation in the labor market, the Korean government is making efforts to provide various incentives and improve childcare services. Now let me turn to foreign direct investment. According to a 2007 UNCTAD report, you know, I try to benchmark and to explain to Korean people why we have to do this and you know, why we have to deregulate and reform. I always would like to get things in a global perspective. So I'm just using this kind of data very often in Seoul. According to 2007 UNCTAD report, Korea ranked 115th in terms of the accumulated FDI to GDP ratio, while Korea's, what they defined as potential for attracting the FDI, ranks 17th out of 140 countries covered, you know, in terms of institutional infrastructure, human resources availability, and so forth. So although we have put great potential, but we're not doing very well in this area of attracting foreign direct investment. And as I showed you earlier, the inbound foreign direct investment has fallen for the last 3 years, as you can see from the right-hand side diagram. The blue line, I mean the yellow line is incoming direct foreign investment, and blue line is our outbound FDI, and that which is increasing very fast as compared to the very rapidly falling incoming FDIs. So obviously the improvements in the labor relations and the regulatory reforms to create a business-friendly environment are not only for Korean firms, but also for foreign firms. In addition, however, being well aware that foreign investors are not fully satisfied with the current living the environment in Korea, the government is geared toward improving educational, medical, and healthcare services and providing better cultural facilities. The government also knows that its lack of policy consistency has been a special concern for most foreign firms. The new government made a major organizational reform to make the government function more efficiently. the enhancement of policy consistency and predictability was one of the major purposes of the reorganization. You know, President Lee Myung-bak indicated in New York this time to open a personal hotline with representatives of the foreign business communities in Korea when he returns. Actually, he already did it for Korean business leaders. It is his serious gesture to show how important investors, both domestic and foreign, are to revive the Korean economy. We have Tammy Overby there, sitting there. She is president of U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Korea. And I'm sure she will tell you I'm not telling you a lie. As previously indicated, the improvement of the total factor productivity should be the on top of the nation's economic agenda for the new government, and I must say it is. We know that the total factor productivity can be enhanced through various institutional reforms, which will encourage entrepreneurship and systemic efficiency, and through intensified competition, especially coming from abroad, in addition to technological advancement. In this regard, I must remind you of the fact that a better implementation of rule of law throughout the economy, the labor relations area in particular, can substantially increase Korea's economic growth potential. We had a very interesting KDI study, which showed that all things being equal, once the Korean compliance of the rule of law is improved to the level of OECD average, Korea can increase its annual growth potential by almost 1 percentage point. I must tell you that the new government is committed to ensuring the rule of law respected throughout the whole society and introducing relevant institutional reforms to meet global standard. The Korea-US FTA, once ratified, is expected to contribute greatly in upgrading Korea's institutional infrastructure, in addition to the well-known direct benefits, for which I don't think I need to go in before this audience. The public sector reform is another priority area for the new government. At this point, I can only tell you that we are currently engaged in sorting out public entities either to be privatized or reformed. However, it will not take too long before you see some bold actions taken up in this regard. In fact, one of the major tasks of my council is the reforming the public sector. Let me now say only a few words about education reform. You probably know that Korea sends more students to the United States than China and India. Good for Koreans. But the only problem is that they include a substantial number of primary and secondary school pupils. I think about 20,000 out of 10,000 students in this country are primary and secondary school pupils. Apparently, their parents are not satisfied with the quality of education in Korea. The new government aims at improving the quality of public education and providing diversified educational services for those with special needs. The key principles of this reform are autonomy and competition, which we don't have now, allowing more leeway in student selection, and ensuring more information disclosure for schools and students, and also allowing teacher evaluation, which is not done in Korea, among others. One can argue that for the first time in its history, Korea now has a competitive edge in the global competition arena. During Alvin Toffler's first wave era, we didn't have land, we didn't have the good weather, so we didn't have competitive edge. In the industrialization era, we didn't have mass accumulation of capital. In this age, in the knowledge-based economic era, we have a people. I don't say Koreans have the highest IQ in the world, but I can say that Korea has the highest zeal for education. So this is the first time in our history have this competitive edge. If government does right thing, our problem, if it is problem, it is excess demand for education. All government needs to do is supply appropriate the educational services, and which we don't. That's why Korean parents are so frustrated, Korean students are so frustrated. Therefore, the right policy priority should be placed on the education reform, and the new government will certainly do that. Unfortunately, as I said, during the last 10 years under two different governments, this education policy went just the opposite. It just didn't permit competition, and there's no autonomy given to schools. And so we are going to change this policy. I must also mention that while producing valued human resources through reformed education, the Korean government has a plan to increase investment in R&D. I don't want to get into in detail here. So as you remember, and as late as 1960s, very few people in the world ever thought Korea could pull itself out of poverty. In fact, you read some of the aid-giving agencies, even in this country, so the documents of the late 50s or early 60s, Korea was just ruled out. They consider it a basket case. And all they said they could do is just provide a little bit of the goods so that for temporary, you know, the consumption. No investment goods because this country has no hope. But we made it. So this time around too, I know there are many who are rather skeptical about the new government's ambitious goal of enhancing its economic growth potential from the current around 5% to the 7% in a relatively short period of time. I personally believe that the goal is achievable, as the new government, in my view, has the right set of policy priorities and determination. Once we succeed, Korea will find its place in the league of the most advanced nations in a decade's time. It's okay, I think. Before closing, I must say that it is my sincere the hope that the U.S. business and financial community, with early ratification of the CORAS FTA, fully participate in Korea's endeavor for mutual benefit. As you must have heard this morning, that we finally cleared the U.S. beef issue has been cleared away. So thank you. So it is our both countries' legislatures to ratify the CORAS FTA. Our government, you know, the president took really politically courageous action yesterday approving this beef deal. which has been really, really a problem for our trade relationship with the United States. And it is done. And then, in addition, President decided to call, to ask the government party to have a temporary session of the National Assembly to get the ratification, Korea-U.S. FTA get the ratification in May. And so it shows our determination to get the Korea's FTA ratified. I just hope that our friends in the U.S. do the same thing to get the U.S. Congress get the Korea's FTA ratified as early as possible. With this very general remark, I will stop here. And if you have any questions or comments, I'll be more than happy to answer them. Okay, thank you very much.